This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jay James, the one, the only, the host and producer of Best Seat in the House, the director of sports broadcasting here at the Charlottesville Radio Group. We're honored to have him live in studio. And you are literally like... about ready to hit the air, aren't you? And not the airwaves. You're about to go 35,000 feet.
Two hours, 21 minutes and 3 seconds.
But nobody's counting.
Nobody's counting.
Now tell folks where you're going.
We are headed to Los Angeles, California. We are very proud of what the Capital Women's Basketball Team has accomplished this year. They have earned a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, so they will play at the Gale Center at the University of Southern California in the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. Should they be fortunate enough to win, they would head back to Charlottesville to practice, and then the following weekend be in Trenton, New Jersey to face the number one team in America.
So there's these two, because I don't know much about sports, you know that, but there's two big tournaments about to start, right?
Yes.
The men's NCAA and the women's NCAA.
Exactly.
Basketball.
You got it.
And the women got slated as a 5 seed. That's a good thing?
It is pretty good. I mean, what they do is there's 64 teams. And it's a pretty simple mathematical equation of how they divide them.
This is women.
This is women and men.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the way they seed the teams is they do 4 regions with 16 teams in each region.
Okay.
That equals 64.
All right.
So what they do is they will have the 1 seed play the 16, the 2 play the 15, the 3 play the 14, the 4 play the 13, and so forth until the 4 and the 5 play each other eventually. Now, the way it begins is in the first round, you only have 8 games. So it'll be 1-16 all the way down to 5 versus 12. That's your first set of games.
Okay.
And the winners come out of that and they play each other till you whittle yourself down from the first round is 64 teams, then 32 teams, then 16 teams, then 8 teams, then 4 teams, then 2 teams, then 1.
Aha.
Simple division, kids.
Now, the men's runs when? The women's runs when?
They're running concurrently. Men will start tomorrow.
So for basketball fans...
Oh, it starts just, tomorrow.
They're already in front of their radios and their
tomorrow.
TVs. And
the national
they're going nuts.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. And then it'll go all through the weekend through next Tuesday. And then it'll pick back up next Thursday.
So if you know somebody, folks, who's into basketball, you got to leave them alone for a few days.
Well, and the key is with our economy and things of the sort, this is going to be a very low productivity. Historically, it is last 2 days of the week. People will be glued to televisions. The televisions and radios will be on in the offices.
Yeah.
Listening, watching games. And quite frankly, I think it's great. It's one of the great things. Sports is a great way of escapism for people, whether it was the Iraq War or was 9/11 or was Desert Storm, tragedies nationally, Katrina. People can always use sports as a venue to kind of just exhale and enjoy the moment for a little bit before they get back to what they have to deal with every day.
Yeah.
And what we have now in our current economic situation, both locally and nationally, this couldn't come at a better time for people to just have some fun. Kick back, enjoy this, enjoy. What's so great about collegiate athletics, Coy, is the players aren't paid. So their motivation is of its purest form. And so you will see it. That's what's so attractive about the NCAA tournament. It really doesn't have as much to do with the basketball competition. It is the drive of the young people and the elation, spectrum of emotion. You will see coaches diving on the floor with tears in their eyes because they're happy. And you will see players with their faces buried in towels because they're defeated. I mean, that's the range of remote. And that's what attracts people. It's the drama. And at the CBS television has gotten brilliant with this because what they do at the end of it, after they've aired the national championship game, they have a song called One Shining Moment. And they give you all of those emotional images that you see throughout the tournament. And Luther Vandross sings the song. You know, and they've got, here are the words. It goes, the ball is tipped and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. You know what I mean? And it's incredible. And that's what sells is the pageantry, the emotion, the
drive. You're selling me right now.
Exactly. It's you couldn't get a better movie. It's not. It's the drama of the NCAA tournament.
The Virginia men's team is not in this tournament this year.
No, they have not been for the last 2 years. They did go
which
back.
Which means they're not one of the top 16 teams in their region.
Well, quite frankly, they're not one of. There's another tournament called the NIT. Which is National Invitational Tournament. So the 32 teams that don't make the field of 64, they're in that tournament. So there are about 96 teams that get to play in the postseason in what we know of the most popular tournaments. And then Yeah. Virginia was,
is UVA in the men's in the NIT?
No. No, they don't have a coach. So
they're not one of the top 96 teams.
No. No.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I didn't know it was that bad.
Well, it's been a tough year.
Oh, man.
It's been a tough year.
Well, speaking of that tough year, your thoughts. We were talking with Chris Graham in the last half hour. First, your thoughts on Chris Graham's take, and then give us your take. I've been listening to your program. You're talking to Jed, lots of folks, about the departure of Dave Leto, what it means for UVA men's basketball, and what this could where this could go in the future.
Well, a couple of things. I think Chris has hit the nail on the head with pretty much most of the points that he made. The University of Virginia, I'll be the first to admit, it's not an easy place to coach, Coy. There's a lot that comes with the job. It's very political. It's very oriented around fundraising and dollars, and it's a very high-profile job. Now, if you can get all those things to line up, it's a great job. It's in the Atlantic Coast Conference. It's at a wonderful institution known as the University of Virginia, which you and I both love.
Yep.
We are our graduates. But at the same time, it comes with a lot. And you've got to be able to be a salesman as well as a leader. Basketball is about 15% of your job. You've got to be out with public relations. You've got the media, recruiting kids, dealing with the donors, all this kind of stuff. And it's not easy. And for Dave Leto, I would consider Dave a friend, and I'm sorry for him.
Yeah, you've had a real good relationship with him.
He's been great to us. He really has been very amenable, easy to work with. He's a professional. And, you know, there's so many different facets. And you may not have agreed with his coaching style, or I just think he wasn't a fit. He's a good coach. He's a good person. He's got a bright future, but he just was maybe a square peg in a round hole at the University of Virginia, and it just didn't work. He ends up
having. What made him square, and what makes the hole round?
The hole being round means you've got to be, if you're going to be the head coach of the University of Virginia, you've got to be able to recruit student athletes that can get in here and be and excel at the same time, which, make no mistake about it, that is one of the more difficult things that you're going to have to be able to do, because this is an elite university with very high standards, and that's the way it should be. I think people are comfortable with that. But to be able to win at a high level, you have to be like Duke. Virginia has got to recruit kids. If they're not the McDonald's All-Americans that Duke is getting, they've got to be the next tier down. They've got to be able to get the kids who are intelligent, good young people that can excel and be developed here at the University of Virginia.
And he was a square peg because you're saying that he just didn't have the recruiting skills that that UVA would require?
I think he has a different set of recruiting skills. I think he has the ability. He's been very successful at other places. But I think what happened to Pete, let's look at Pete Gillen and let's look at Dave Leto. What happened to Pete Gillen was two things will cause a coach's tenure to become shaky at a university. If you look back at the Pete Gillen era, he lost a lot of his top assistants. They all got jobs. They were all good. So they went and got their own jobs. So he had no staff continuity. You need continuity just like any organization. Politically, any job, you more continuity.
You need a good team of coaches just like you need a good team of players.
Exactly. Yeah. You need a team, a continuity to back up the head coach. When Pete Gillen started to lose that, the program started to turn a little bit. You also have to be able to recruit that unique type of student athlete for the University of Virginia that can excel here. That is both an elite player and is also able to excel at the University of Virginia academically and be part of the standards.
Sort of like a Duke. You got to be good in the classroom, good on the boards.
Yeah. And those players aren't easy to find. And I think what Coach Leto was able to find is kids that were pretty good players, like a Sylvan Landisberg and a Jeff Jones and a Jameel Tucker and some others. But they weren't quite – he missed out on a couple that would – we wouldn't be having this conversation. He missed out on a guy by the name of Ed Davis, on a guy by the name of Elliot Williams – and also a guy by the name of Patrick Patterson. These were marquee guys that teams like Kentucky, North Carolina came in and took them out from the Cavaliers. And, and Dave Leto also lost two very valuable assistants in Rob Lanier and Gene Cross, who were his right-hand guys. And not taking nothing away from his current set of assistants, they had an initial continuity that was broken because they had ambition and got other jobs.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
happens. But when these things happen, it's like a domino effect. And I think that's just kind of, all those factors led to it just not working. Like I said, Dave's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. There are good players that he was leading, but there was a disconnect there where his style didn't match these kids. And I think that's why the University of Virginia kind of stepped in there.
Whose style will match?
It's going to have to be
both the players that we need and also this particular environment.
It's going to have
sports
to be
environment that
a,
is UVA
it's going to it's going to have to be a coach that is a PR superstar, a person that makes you get out there and just go, yes, We are ready to go.
Somebody the reporters love, because that
always
helps.
Reporters love, fans love.
That helps, engaging. Let's admit it. Yeah.
Now, the next stage, it also, you also, that's only one small part. The next coach also has to have proven winning at the highest levels capability, preferably someone who has already won a national championship, to come here. Because that will ignite the fan base's interest, that will ignite the donors' interest, and that will get the train rolling.
Wouldn't that be something if UVA, I mean, you've seen some of this, I'm sure you've seen some of the media, and talked to some of the folks who were here in Charlottesville when Ralph Sampson played.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable.
Can you?
Unbelievable.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we had even a modicum of that type of thing at JPJ, mm-hmm. that place would be
packed. It would be on fire.
For home games. And you know that the Department of Athletics at UVA, that's their vision.
That's their vision.
That's Craig's vision.
Exactly.
That's what they all want to see.
They need a coach that can get that type of player that is a program changer in here. And it's not an easy thing to do. I was having a conversation with a former player today. He said, yeah, you know, it really doesn't matter who the coach is. They've got to be able to get those special type of players here that can help Virginia win at the highest levels. He said, you could be Mike Krzyzewski. If you came to Virginia and you couldn't get those players, he'd be gone too.
Mm.
So the key is
getting those players to UVA instead of Duke.
Exactly. And the other thing
is... And how do you do that?
Part of it is, for instance, the leading candidate that a lot of fans are talking about is a guy by the name of Tubby Smith.
Yeah, I heard you talking about him last night.
Tubby is, he won a national championship in 1998 with the University of Kentucky. He is currently at the University of Minnesota. He is known throughout college basketball circles. He is known nationwide. For him to come to the University of Virginia, by making the move, would attract a lot of media attention nationally.
That'd be huge national
news.
It'd
be huge. We were talking about this on the show last night, how many times Virginia over the last couple of years had really appeared in national headlines on ESPN. And they hadn't. Very little. You never saw much about them in the conversation of the ACC. That has to change for players to want to come and be a part. Your arena can be as beautiful as you want, but until you start winning, those kids aren't going to care. And so in order to win, you got to have that individual that immediately attracts it all, sells the fans, gets people excited as donors, gets people charged up, gets kids attracted because of the media attention. It's got to be a big, big, big name.
Well, can you afford Tubby Smith?
The University of Virginia can afford anyone. let's recognize who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say it. The University of Virginia has resources. They are no slouch.
Yeah.
And they can get who they want.
There's supporters and donors and friends of the program
mm-hmm.
who are willing to write checks, but give them a reason to do it.
And if you're the right guy, it's a great job. It's great. Can you imagine anywhere else better to live than Charlottesville? If you're a collegiate in your environment and you're the right person and you embrace everything that comes with it, the academic environment of Virginia, the pageantry, the tradition, the fan base, the alumni. It's a great place. Former players will tell you. Corey Alexander tells a story all the time. He says, I wasn't sure I wanted to come here, but once I got here, I knew I made the right decision.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. So they've got to have that person. It's a microcosm of presidential politics, really, because there's a lot to deal with in the job, and you've got to sell the fans, the alumni, and get the players. And that's a hard thing to do, but if you can do all three, you'll be the king of the hill.
Yeah.
And you'll be the big man on grounds.
I'd love to see that program, come in and build that up and have it just be huge. And you know, it doesn't take that much to light up Charlottesville and get them back at the JPJ.
It would be really good.
They don't have to win an NCAA tournament to do that.
It'd be really good for them to be year in, year out, competing for ACC championships and every once in a while advancing deeply into the NCAA tournament. That's what people want. They know that they're not on the same level as normally what a Kentucky is, and they're not there right now, or a powerhouse out of the South SEC or out of the Big East like a Syracuse is.
But why can't we be a Duke?
Well, Duke is a very elite program. I mean, that's hard to do because look at the pedigree of Duke. Duke has three national championships. Duke has 17 ACC championships.
How close has Virginia ever come?
To a what?
To a national NCAA championship.
Very close. Final Four with Ralph Sampson. Back in the 80s.
Okay.
But compare the programs, Coy. Okay, ready? Here we go. Virginia's been to a couple of Final Fours. Duke has been to, I need to count, probably over 9. Duke has 17 ACC championships. Virginia has one. Virginia hasn't won an ACC championship in basketball since 1976.
Ooh,
Duke won it this year.
Gosh.
Okay? There's a difference. There is a difference.
So but maybe
you,
my...
you want to be the next level
shooting
down.
A little too high.
You don't want to be Carolina Duke. You want to be right below them. You want to be right there.
Yeah.
You know, Virginia, Maryland, Wake Forest. You want to be right there. That's all. It'll keep everybody happy. And there's people that can do it. And I wish him the best. I wish Dave the best. I think there's a future for him as well.
Now, remind us again real quick before we let you go. The NCAA tournaments start when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, across the country.
And can you get them here?
CBS television. Yeah.
Okay.
Our over there, WCAV, our buddies over there. But as far as University of Virginia women, 10 p.m. Saturday night, because we're on the West Coast.
That's the big game.
That's the
And you're pre-game. Calling that game
I got
for
that
listeners
game.
Here in Charlottesville.
Before that, our lacrosse team was number one in the country against one of their arch rivals, Johns Hopkins, from Baltimore, Maryland, live at 8 p.m. We go right from 8 to 10. Right into women's basketball from California. So we'll be in we're worldwide. We're Baltimore, we're Los Angeles, and not to mention Virginia baseball starts Friday at 6 p.m. here against Miami, one of the perennial powerhouses in the nation. The only undefeated team in baseball in the nation is who?
I have no idea.
Virginia.
Ah!
The undisputed, only undefeated team in America.
There you go. So Saturday night, 8 p.m. lacrosse
10
against
PM
Johns Hopkins
basketball.
And 10 p.m. women's basketball right here on News Radio 1070 WINA. Jafe, have a safe trip.
I appreciate it, my
Enjoy
friend.
It. Let's hope they win, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
I look forward to more of your fantastic program.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.